Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hey, you can be seated. Welcome to Coastal Community Church. I'm Seth. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm happy to be worshiping with you this morning. Thank you for being here. Man, if you guys were here last week, you like had to swim here, so this weather's great, isn't it? It's nice. Welcome. Are you guys here? Are you in the room? Hello? It's good weather. Thank you for being here anyway. Thank you, worship team, in spite of technical difficulties, for leading us in worship. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you. Father, I pray that you would use these moments to transform our hearts. I pray that you would use these moments to reorder our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have a lot of tools. I like working on things. I like fixing things. I also have a lot of kids. And so we have six children, five living at home. And actually last night we met a new family and they were having dinner at our house and they were, you know, we were kind of getting to know one another. Not all our children were there. And I had said something like, we used to have some kids that, and they're like, you know, they don't know, like, what'd you do to them? Where did they go? So I had to kind of explain, you know, being foster parents, sometimes kids are, you know, in and out. But we have a lot of kids and they love to borrow my tools. And I have a kid tool loaner program. What that means is all my tools go missing, okay? So if like I will, even the neighbor kids will come over, Pastor Seth, I need help fixing my bike, or Dad, I need help. My kids don't ask, they just go in there. I'll get out there, every drawer in my Craftsman rolling chest toolbox is open, tools are spread all over, and I'm like, oh my good, you just start, if you guys are people who like tools, you go out there and you just start twitching, right? It's just like, whoa, where's my tools? And you know, you loan a tool, right? to a neighbor kid, yeah, you better go buy another one. But I realized that I had to change my perspective about my tools. I had to change my perspective because I can either have my tools nice and neat and never lose any of them, or I can teach my kids and really the neighbor kids how to use my tools and how to lose my tools. And if I hang on to them and I never let go, nobody's ever gonna benefit outside of me from those tools. And so I had to change my perspective. And that's the same thing I had to do with the tool God gave me called money. I had to change my perspective that if I hang on to it, no one's gonna benefit from it outside of me. But if I'm lending and I'm giving and I'm generous, I'm gonna enjoy my tools more, even if I don't always have them all. And I'm grateful for those moments where God has invited us to be generous. And I'm grateful as a church. You know, if you're here for the first time, you did it. You showed up on the one Sunday a year that we talk about giving. Welcome. This isn't every Sunday, but we're happy that you're here. Giving is so important, not just in a church, but God calls us to be generous people, so that people who follow Jesus should be known by their generosity. You shouldn't have to go look at your tax statement from the church to find out that you're a generous person. It should be all around you. Your neighbors should know. Your neighbors should know. Your coworkers should know you're a generous person. They will know us by our love. And there's no better way to express love than generosity. So, slight flaw in my plan. I often am looking for tools, but you know what? I can always get more. I can always go and get another 13 millimeter socket. Usually it's the 10 and the 15 that disappear, right people? So yeah, I'm missing some tools, but I have a greater mission that's getting accomplished because I haven't held on to them too tightly. So our money talks loudest when we're generous. This is the series, Money Talks. This is the last part of the series. And I've promised, I'm trying to keep these. I lied a little last week. I kept you longer, right? But this week, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try to stay on time. But money talks, and it talks loudest when we decide to be generous with it instead of holding on to it. You know, I wanna just clear something up. There's a difference between giving and generosity. You give the IRS money. It's not very generous, though. I don't get happy from giving the IRS money. You know, you give Walmart $400 a week to feed your, you know, five teenagers at home, right? But I'm not happy about it. And maybe I'm generous when they finally start. It is generosity, you know, when they start eating, right? Yeah, I mean, I could just keep it for myself, right? So here's the deal. We have to stop allowing money to talk to us in a way that isn't consistent with how God says it exists. In fact, our key passage for this series is Luke chapter 16, 13. It'll be on the screen. No one could serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Can we read that together? It's on the screen. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So if you want to stop allowing money to control your life and talk to you the way it's been talking to you, listen closely. We've been talking about how our money talks over the last few weeks. We learned about how money talks through our worry, and some of you are creative worriers. Your creativity is something to be admired. You can think of every horrible thing that might maybe go wrong, that never will go wrong. You're just so creative that way. God made you that way. And when we get a hold of that creativity, we're now creatively expecting God to do great things through the money he's given us and not expecting it to disappear just as quickly as we got it. And in week two, we talked about how money talks through our budget. Some of you, I feel like that was your favorite. Y'all like a sermon on budgeting. And I had to like wake you guys up a few times during that one. Not the most exciting topic, but there's some good resources there. We cannot spend every penny that we make and still be available to God in the same ways. And last week, we talked about how money talks through our stuff. And our stuff can't be trusted. It disappears. It controls us. It tells us, you must have the best. But God says, I want to give you rest. We have to decide. I'd rather have what Jesus has to offer than what stuff has to offer. Stuff will keep on disappearing and decaying, but Jesus keeps on being stable and continues to be with us even through difficult times. And as we talk about generosity today, all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about generosity today, and we're going to talk about the difference between a scarcity mindset and a God mindset. A scarcity mindset is one who believes that if they give, it's all just going to disappear. A scarcity mindset is going to consume all that God's given you, get afraid that it's going to disappear, right, and freak out. And that scarcity cycle goes like this. God supplies, we consume, we lack, we freak out. But a God concept, a God cycle, a God perspective of our money is God provides, we give, God multiplies, and our faith grows. Our faith has the opportunity to grow when we decide that there are more important things than money. And hey, by the way, this is a plug for next week. I'm gonna cue the commercial right now. We're gonna talk about faith next week. And we have somebody coming to talk about faith that's really, it's not me. I'll be in second service, but first service, Pastor Moses Simonde Mbuga from Uganda is gonna be right here in first service. In second service, you'll get a short video from Moses, and then you'll be stuck with me. And it's gonna be part two of a series called Faith. So you wanna, if you're planning on being there for first service next week, make sure you attend online second service. Go back and listen to it either on the podcast or on YouTube or something, because we're gonna be bouncing off of one another between the two services. Moses is a man that has taught me more about faith than maybe any other man here on this planet. And you wanna know how? Because he says, just step forward, just come forward, just a little further and a little further. He has a saying. He says, people value the gospel of deeds over the gospel of words. We actually have to move forward. He says that at Imani, we walk on water. And while if you're not there, it might sound arrogant, but when you start walking with them, you realize we have no idea what we're doing next, but we're gonna move forward one step at a time. Now, to some of you, that sounds terrifying, but once you begin walking on water, you know, once you step out of the boat and Jesus says, come to me, and you start seeing what God's gonna do, it's addictive. You guys will be, it's the true adventure. So please come back next week, invite a friend, listen to Moses, either service. So God provides, we give, God multiplies, and our faith grows. Our faith grows through generosity, through taking a chance and believing that God will bless. So giving is not generosity. God does call us to give, but he calls us to give cheerfully. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the difference between what scarcity says and the difference about what God says. Number one, scarcity says giving is painful. God says giving is joyful. When you give to the IRS, whew, that's painful. You see that line item number when you submit your taxes and you just cringe, don't you? Am I the only one? You're like, oh my goodness, you know. Okay, so, but God says giving is not supposed to be that way. Giving is supposed to be joyful. Acts 20 verse 35 says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than receive. Some of you thought that was from a Christmas movie, but it's from Jesus. Don't let Santa take that away from Jesus. He says, it's more blessed to give than receive. You're gonna get more blessings if you're generous, if you're giving, than if you're only receiving. So if giving is painful, I wanna suggest that you're doing it wrong. And you need to fix it, just fix it, because you're missing out. Because giving is one of the funnest things, funnest, most fun. Y'all can figure that out later. It's the most fun thing you can do with your money. Okay, you can either give it away or spend it on yourself. It's really fun. You're missing out on one of the most fun things you can do with your money. So I challenge you. Just try it. My wife and I, we decided we give a tithe to the church, and we've done that ever since before we were married. Even when we were living single, we just grew up doing that. When we made money, we gave a tenth to the church, and that's how we've kept it ever since. And we sponsor a few kids in Uganda, and we throw that in on top. God said, hey, these kids are kids you're supposed to take care of. And I'm like, okay. So we do that. That's us. But God has a specific recipe for you. Don't miss out on the joy of giving, because we get to hear from these kids from Uganda and how God's growing them and shaping them. And the kid, Alex Mutibwa, who is in a wheelchair, Cookie, you've met him, and all the rest of you who've gone to Uganda, in a wheelchair, when we first met him, still in a wheelchair, and they've been, the parents, you know, gave up on him. And they've wondered, you know, let's just let this kid waste away. But I love Alex Mutibwa's faith. He didn't give up on God. In fact, when he struggles and he has trouble, he never loses faith. And I get to see that. I just send, you know, a sponsorship there. And now he's 20-something, 22 years old. He's gone through technical training and fixes cell phones in Mitiana, near where my daughter Barbara was born. And it's just neat to see. Yeah, man, I'd miss out on that if I didn't give God the opportunity to work through my generosity. I wanna give you the opportunity for God to work through your generosity. And some of you are like, oh, here he comes. He's gonna say, give to the church. All right, the Bible says give to the church, but I'm gonna say try giving outside the church. Just, hey, you may not be ready yet for this, okay? It's okay. You're not supposed to give if it's not fun. So if you've been hurt by church and you're not ready yet, that's okay. Wait till you trust us more. But for now, I don't want you to miss out on the blessings of being generous. So after this, go to the ATM, get 50, 100, you know, God may call you to do 200, I don't know. Get money out of the ATM and then pray about where you're supposed to give it. Maybe you sit outside of Walmart until you see a single mom wrangling five children, and you're like, yes, Lord, I see you. And you go say, the Lord told me to give this to you. They're gonna think you're weird, but you're gonna have fun doing it. Some of you, man, that's not your thing. It's scary to walk up to people you don't know. For me, that's just, I love doing it. Hey, everybody's my friend, you know? My kids are like, kids, I'm like, why are you walking way back there? Come on, kids, hey! But if that's you, it's okay. Put it in an envelope. Get it to some person. I know you have someone in your life that needs your generosity. Get it to someone anonymously and see how God blesses your heart. Even if you don't even get to see their face when they open it, you're gonna be excited about what God's gonna do through your generosity. So scarcity says giving is painful, but God says giving is joyful. So try it out, test it out. That's your assignment. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, it'll be on the screen. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Can I just read that again? Because I know that's what you expect when you come to church, is pressure and coercion to get money, right? That's not what God wants. This church can survive financially by only those who are cheerfully ready to give. In 2 Corinthians 9, 7, I'm gonna read that again. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Number two, scarcity says your blessings will run out. You ever feel like that? Scarcity says your blessings are gonna run out. But God says your blessings are gonna run over. Which one do you want? Do you wanna keep going with the run out model, or do you want the run over model? Tell someone next to you, say, your blessings are gonna run over. Tell them, y'all are awake, this is second service. I can't hear anything. Tell somebody next to you, your blessings are gonna run over. Tell somebody. Okay, I was about to sit down, I thought y'all fell asleep. If you're watching online, shout it from wherever you're at. Even if you're in the car, make people near you think you're weird. You're fitting right in here, awesome, good. We hear you. All right, scarcity says your blessings will run out. God says your blessings will run over. We want the second one. Luke chapter 6, 38 says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will be determined by the amount you get back. Sorry, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I wanna talk to the fishermen and fisherwomen in the room. Now, if you're fishing with someone, a couple friends, and you notice friend A starts catching keeper fish with cut bait, all right? They're just cutting the heads off a mullet and throwing them out there. Some of you guys are like, ew! Okay, I'm talking to the fishermen, okay? I'll catch you all up later. Okay, and they're bringing in snook and trout and what else? Flounder, okay, all on cut bait. What are you gonna do next? I'm gonna switch, okay? What you're not gonna do is, I don't wanna run out of bait, so I'm just gonna keep throwing this artificial that's not working, right? We don't wanna do that. We wanna do what's working. When somebody when you start seeing blessings getting reeled in, I'm gonna start looking at what bait they're using. And I'm gonna put every rod I have out into the water and see what God can do. The biblical concept of generosity is that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. When you hear this concept on TV, sometimes maybe you grew up, you know, and you heard, you'd be flipping through the channels and you saw somebody with big hair talking about how if you would just send such and such amount of money to support their ministry, then God will just blow open your doors and you just, there'll be a deposit in your bank account tomorrow and yada, yada, okay? All right, it may not work just like that. It may not work just like that. I'm still waiting for the Tesla that I prayed for last week during last week's sermon. Still waiting in faith. But you know what? God blesses us for the purpose, not of having more, although that's an awesome thing. It's fine to have nice stuff. but he blesses us so that we can have everything we need and still have the capacity to be generous. In fact, when God blesses you with a lot, he increases your capacity to bless others with what you've been given. That is how we live as believers. God provides so that you can always have everything you need and be a blessing to others. Scarcity is afraid you're gonna run out of bait. And so it'd almost rather hang on to the bait, keep go home with bait in the bucket, than throw it out there and risk losing all your bait and not getting to actually catch a fish. All right, number three, we are on target here. Scarcity says you can trust no one. God says you can trust me. Not me, please. I'm just a person, okay? You can trust me with most stuff, you know. Don't make me fix your car. My wife got stranded again today. So I think it's time for me to trust a mechanic, somebody outside of me, right? But you can trust God. You can't trust money. Can't trust money. Man, it's like, I don't know, like when you deposit your check and you're just waiting for it to hit, right? Anybody else? Okay, just how long does it take? Okay, look at the check, okay. Then as soon as it starts coming out of your account, right? Just poof, money just, it's, if you're a lover of money, I'm sorry, you're in an incompatible relationship. She is not gonna treat you with the same love that you treat her. She is gonna step out on you. You're gonna have fun with money today and you're gonna be excited about money today, but tomorrow she's gonna be all up in somebody else's hands. So don't be a lover of money. She is unfaithful. She disappears every chance she gets. Money's always running out on you, but God will never leave you or forsake you. Some of you, God didn't bring you here for a money series. God didn't bring you here for a series, a sermon about giving to the church. God brought you here to believe and to hear that God will never leave you or forsake you. Maybe money isn't the thing that's been stepping out on you. Maybe you had a real, you know, a real romance stepping out on you. Maybe you had, your health is stepping out on you. Your job is stepping out on you. Whatever it is, God will never leave you or forsake you. When we decide we're gonna give God what he asks of us, we're testing him. Is what God says true? God says, do this, and I'll give you this. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I love that last statement, that Lord of heaven's armies, because for some of us, we may be thinking, my finances are such a mess, I need a whole army just to take care of what I have. And so while God's talking about money in this passage and about being generous, God's also saying, I got a whole army here for you. Look, you can trust me. You can trust me more than the money. You can trust me more than whatever you've put your faith in, because I have a whole Lord of heaven's armies. I got angels you can't even see working on your behalf. I have blessings you haven't even imagined ready for you. It wasn't long ago. We were worshiping in the middle school. Makes me cry just to think back. But it's the blessing that God's, all the blessings that God has poured out on this church in just a few years. But we used to show up early every Sunday and we had to set everything up, tear everything down. Can you just raise your hand if you were part of that lovely group? Okay. We'd set things up, tear things down. Man, if you weren't here for that, praise God, okay? Hallelujah. okay? Like everything had to fit into a box and then fit into a closet or go home in my car. It was crazy. And I would spend my Sunday mornings like putting crap together, fixing stuff, because it was the only time we could actually be with our stuff. And so Sunday morning, I'm putting together this box for the TV that was back in the back to go into so that we keep it safe every Sunday. And I started putting it together and, you know, I'm talking as much as I'm working, which is what I do. It's hard to imagine, I'm sure. And as I start to get the lid, I'm feeling good. It looks nice, it looks good. But I try to put the lid on and a lid won't fit. And I realize that now I'm looking at the directions and the part that I put on the bottom is supposed to be on the top. And it won't work the other way. In fact, I had to disassemble the entire thing, take every screw out, and put the first thing first. Then I could put the rest of it together. And everything fit, and the lid closed it up, and the TV could be secure. Some of us, it's time to reorder our finances. We gotta get what's first. And then everything else is gonna make sense. Some of you, like I said, God brought you here for a different reason other than for a financial sermon. Some of you, you need to start by taking your life completely apart, getting back to the most important piece and putting Jesus at the very base of your life and then building on him. And so I don't know where you're at spiritually this morning. But I know that usually when we have crap happen like we have had this morning, and there's little technology demons everywhere, God has brought someone here in order to make a decision to put him first. So I don't know, I could be crazy, but maybe the reason you're here today is to decide Jesus is gonna be first in my life. I'm gonna stop building things the way I want to and seeing if it closes up nicely. I'm gonna instead decide, I'm gonna trust Jesus, I'm gonna put him first, and everything else will fit together. Would you bow your heads, please? Close your eyes. Jesus, we come to you and we ask your boldness for those who need to put you first in their lives. We ask you to reveal right now, right this moment, through your Holy Spirit, who you brought here today to make this most important decision in their life. Tell them right now. And may they have the guts, the courage to make that decision right now, because the more we put it off, the easier it is to put off. And the longer we live with the box put together in the wrong order, and the more trouble it is to dismantle and put Jesus first. So right now I pray, Jesus, your mercy over them, and that they would be willing to decide, I'm gonna put you first. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, is there anyone here who says, yeah, that was me. I'm supposed to put Jesus first this morning. I'm gonna decide for the first time today, I'm gonna put Jesus first. Raise your hand, look at me. I wanna pray over you. See the hand, praise Jesus. Who else? Is there anyone else here? I'm gonna pray with you in just a minute. Anyone else? Okay, I see some other hands. Jesus, we love new beginnings. With our heads still bowed, I want to invite those who raised their hands. I want to invite those who raised their hands to pray with me. Deciding to follow Jesus is simple. God sent his only son to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins. He said anybody who believes in him can be saved and have eternal life with him. And that life of hope and blessing starts now, starts the moment you first believe. So if you would, those who raised their hands, would you pray this prayer with me? It's just an ABC prayer. We're gonna admit that we've sinned. We're gonna believe that Jesus died as a perfect sacrificial payment. And we're gonna commit our lives to Jesus. Pray with me. silently or even softly at your chair. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm not perfect. I believe in my heart that you are God's son and that you died on the cross to save me. And I am committing my life to putting you first in every way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.